We serve a great big, wonderful God. Hallelujah. This last couple of weeks we've taken the verse from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Father, we just pray that as we look into your word, that you will speak to us, you will quicken us, you will inspire us, O God, and that we would trust your word even more. And Father, we shall see great and mighty results through your word working in and through our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. And it says this: for as a man thinks within himself, so he is. As a man thinks within himself, so you are. So if you think you're rubbish, if you think you're hopeless, if you think you're useless, then that's what begins to take control of your life. And you become a person with little hope. A person that feels they have no future. If people have said to you most of your life, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be any good. You'll never achieve this. And that's what ends up happening to our lives. So often we end up being low achievers. But you know, the word of God encourages and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got that, Michelle? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now you've got to say that. Each and every one of us have got to say that at times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what it is about. It is about the fact that the Word of God and Jesus Christ Himself came to strengthen us. He came to forgive us, to set us free from the things of this world, to set us free from the grip of the devil and the things of this world that would hold us back. And He said, I've set you free. And He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Word of God says there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If Christ Jesus, if you've taken Christ as your Lord and Savior, then there's no more condemnation. Oh, the devil will try to bring it. Your mind will assault you at times. Your thinking, your brain. But you see, your spirit has to retrain the brain. Hey, that seems to rhyme a bit, doesn't it? Your spirit needs to retrain the brain. Our spirit needs to feed on the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. See this? What do I have in my hand? I didn't hear. A Bible, that's right. When was the last time you read it? This morning. Yesterday. When did you last eat?
Dinner time.
Ah.
Breakfast.
What am I? I'm not going to tell you off. You're going to tell yourself off. This is just as important as breakfast, dinner, and evening meal. Hello? You see, this feeds the spiritual man. Yeah, but I can't see the spiritual man. No. That's true. He's an invisible being in that sense because he's spirit. But you feel the presence and the power. Some of you have been out for prayer these last few weeks and you felt the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. You didn't see him, but you felt him. You felt a power, a source, Some felt a trembling. Some felt an overwhelming power of God just flowing into their lives, washing, cleansing and healing. This is what it's about. And so we need to feed on the Word of God. This Word feeds our spirit. It doesn't feed necessarily directly, feed our brain. It goes through our brain and it does a bit of brain washing. Most of us want our brains washing. Every day. Because you watch TV, don't you? Hello? Have you all gone to sleep on me?
Yeah.
No? You watch TV, don't you? Now I've got to rack my brain on this one. Daytime TV. I can't think of one of the programs. Somebody give me one of the programs. I'm not getting on to you. Some of you know. No. I mean some of these garbage programs. You know what I'm talking about. I know you do. Well, that's one.
During
the daytime. There's one. Loose women. And then there's another one. What was it? The guy was, you know. That's the one. Jeremy Kyle. The garbage that is on there. I've only seen it occasionally. But the garbage that is on it. If you watch that, you need to wash your mind. You need to get in the book. EastEnders, you need to get in the book. Coronation Street, you need to get in the book. Yeah, but it's not real. It's not real. It's somebody's imagination that has poured out a load of garbage and you've become addicted to it. Is that right? My God, they'll almost be dead by now.
Right.
90 odd murders in a street where about 15, 20 houses. My goodness, what a street you'd want to live in, huh? You see, it's not a reality. I mean, occasionally I watch Midsummer Murders. I tell you, I should hate to live in that village. Everybody must be dead by now. Yeah, everybody dies, you know. But you read this book and it says that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to an abundance. Yeah. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to give us life. And so whatever you're watching formulates how you act. Is that right, Charles? You would agree, would you? Whatever you watch, it formulates the way you will act. We wonder why some of our younger generation act the way they do. It's because the garbage they've been watching, the things they've been watching over the years, and it's become imprinted into the brain, and they begin to react, and these things happen automatically. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, I'm going to tell you it's true, because I drive my car just about automatically. I don't think what I have to do next. Do you, Charles? When I jump into Grace's car and the ignition's in the wrong place and the wipers are on the wrong side and the indicators are on the wrong side, then I have to think what I'm doing. But in my own car, I jump in and I just hit the button and away we go. I stop thinking. It becomes an automatic process that goes on, because it's been imprinted into my mind, into my brain patterns. And so if that can happen, what about all the things that we see on TV and around us that is going on? It will have an effect upon our minds, effects upon our bodies. But you see, if we get into the Word of God, we start reading the Word of God, it begins to change, it begins to renew. Romans 12, we've quoted so many times. We've nearly worn it out, I suppose, about God renewing our mind. The Word of God is there to renew us, to renew us, to renew us. You know, when you're feeling worn down, when you're feeling worn out, when you're sick, when you're in need of something, the answer is in Jesus. The answer is in this book. This is the prescription for life. Glory to God. Go to see Dr. Jesus. Some of you these last few weeks have been seeing Dr. Jesus and he's made changes to your life. Is that right? Come on. Let's give him praise. Let's give him glory. He's changed us. He's done something within us, not just mentally, emotionally, but physically. You see, I've been reading in the New Testament and Jesus healed all that were sick that came to him. He came to show them God is love. And he came to show them God's love by touching their circumstances, ministering to them. And we, the church today, should be operating in that same realm. We should be operating in those same dynamics of moving in power. But the church has stopped thinking like God. Because the church has taken the Word of God and has moved it to one side, and we'll have a concert instead. Get the people in. Well, what are you offering them? No power. No presence. Oh, it's entertaining. Might tickle your emotions for a while. And that's the problem. We want to just tickle emotions. People say, if you go to Harvest Fields, it's a tough church to join. We don't tickle people's emotions. It's about the truth, because the truth is what sets you free. It's about you doing your bit as well. We don't do it for you. We show you how to do it, and you get on with it and do it. Otherwise, if Grace and I and Daniel and David and Stephen and Ken and Pauline and Leisha have to do it all for you, we'll be worn out. Because we've got to do it for ourselves. You don't expect me to come round and lift your spoon up so I can feed you soup or something, do you? No. You don't ring me up and say, Andrew, can you come round? I'm about to have my meal. I just need some help cutting my meat and everything. No, I'm not buttering your bread. You can do your own buttering. You can get your own. You see, you've got the abilities. And the Word of God gives you the ability to do spiritual things. See, on Tuesday we started Bible school. What we started it for? So that we can equip you to continue to do things that you're doing now and then do greater things in the future. Because it's about equipping. You see, we're using the scripture that Paul used in Ephesians 4 and verse 12, that the fivefold ministry in the church, the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, etc., and the evangelists are there for the equipping. The saints. That's you. Hallelujah. The saints of God. For the saints' work in ministry. You're not here to sit and just fill them chairs and think, these are nice chairs, aren't they? Yeah, they are. They're better than the last ones we had. See, I was alright, because most of the time I was stood up speaking and everybody else had to sit on them chairs. And people used to bring cushions in to sit on. Didn't you? Now they don't bring cushions to sit on. They're already here. But you see, we need to let this Word of God work in us, because it's about equipping us for works of service. When is my work of service? As soon as you go out. Even in church, in fact. Because we want to train, we want to equip people to do the work of God. I think it was Billy Graham who said if every believer was to win one person to Christ, within 10 years the whole of humanity would be saved. Think about that one for a moment. If you win one person to Christ in 2021, and everybody did that, every believer started to do that, within less than 10 years, the whole of the world would have heard the gospel and would get saved and come to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a powerful message. It's simple. Oh, I'm scared. I don't know what to say. Well, the Bible says that He, the Holy Spirit, when you spend time in the Word of God, He says, He, then the Holy Spirit, when you're in that circumstance and that situation, He'll give you the words to speak. They'll just come from your brain. They will come from your very soulish man through the Spirit of God stirring it up within you, and it comes forth out of you. And I just keep saying to folk, just gossip the gospel. I love it, you know, supermarkets. Not that I go very often. I don't enjoy supermarket shopping. But you know, when the teller, you know, when they're taking you, want to take your money. Beep, 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 beep. They're trapped. Do you know that? Beep, they can't get away. Wonderful day, ain't it? Oh, you know, thank God Jesus is alive. Thank God I'm saved. Beep. Beep, 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 beep. You get through faster if you're not, you know. And you share the love of God with them. Yeah, but what's that going to do? It's a seed that is planted in somebody's life. Just plant the seeds. God might bring somebody along for you who's already now just ready for you to just bring in the harvest. Let's plant those seeds. Let the kingdom of God be planted into people's lives. We'll try and get to the message, shall we? Hallelujah. We entitled the message the last couple of weeks, "We Can Choose to Think Like God Wants Us to Think." We can choose to think like God wants us to think. You make a choice of how you think. You make a choice on what you want to think. Isaiah 55, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways." Our problem is, some of our thoughts get us into trouble. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Ever had that problem?
Yeah.
Sometimes we didn't even think long enough before we opened our mouth, didn't we? And our mouths got us into trouble. But believe it or not, your thoughts moved into action before your mouth moved. And then all you did was respond to your thought. I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. Don't bother. You don't have enough to go around for yourself. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just chill and say, well, hand them over to God. Let God sort them out. He makes a better job of it.
Yeah.
I remember, some of you have heard this one, but I remember Grace and I, we went to South Africa. We were asked to go out to help prepare and plan and build an orphanage for abandoned babies. And somebody had made an appeal to us to go out and do this, and we didn't know these people. And this person and his wife had a building, had a church, everything. And we were renovating part of this and changing it so it would become a place for these abandoned babies. Well, I'd been there, and within 3 days, I realized that these people were not going to do what they said they were going to do. From then on, those of you that are spiritual know that Jezebel and me were at loggerheads for 3 weeks. And that spirit that wanted to take all the money that had been raised and misappropriated and misused it, it was like, it is not happening. And some of you guys know how I spend money. I took with me, I think it was £16,500 for this orphanage. I managed to do the job for £11,500, and that was no more. And then these people, they abused us verbally, they attacked us, and it was just, it was an awful 3 week period. In fact, I was, when people said to me, would you like to go to South Africa? So, or they said, do you remember South Africa? I cringe at times inside. It's like, I don't, you know, and occasionally, you know, it's like with Facebook, they bring up old photographs, and one comes up of South Africa, and I go, oh. And I just cringe at the thought of it, of what went off. And I remember the people that sent us, we were communicating with them, and we're telling them what was happening, and they wanted to expose these people to the local authorities, have them investigated and everything, and I said, no, we're not doing that. I said, we're going to stand back and we're going to hand them over to God.
Yeah.
And say, Lord, you deal with them.
Yeah.
Within 6 months, they were evicted from the church. They were removed from the school that they were running because they weren't running it properly. They lost everything. Yeah. Don't mess with God.
No.
Don't mess with God's people. Because when you, as God's people, if somebody's messing with you and messing about with you, then all you have to do, stand to one side. We had a business. One of the major publishers set about us. We brought a book in from America legally. We'd been selling it for quite a few months. We'd actually cleared the marketplace up. And this publisher in the UK had decided to print and publish this book. When they took it to the marketplace said, oh, we've had that one. They went ballistic. They threatened to take us to court, to destroy us. They did everything. We did not know what to do. Grace made one phone call. She was given a name and a telephone number of somebody in Sheffield on the legal side. Turned out to be a barrister, was he? A barrister. They don't come cheap. And Grace told him the story and everything, and we were 2 hours on the phone with him. He spent 2 hours on the phone. That's a lot of money for a barrister. Yeah? He gave her 2 hours advice and told her to write this certain letter. And he said to her, you can have all of that for free. So she wrote the letter, and the letter had the effect. But the barrister said to her, he says, how did you get my phone number? How did you find me? Because he wasn't on the list or something. You know, it was God directing things. Because we knew we'd done nothing wrong, but we were trusting in God. And we let God do the fighting. And God delivered us, God saved us, and God set us free from that challenging situation, and we never lost any money. The books that we had left over, the author in America said, send them back, I'll give you your money back on all of those. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, God is interested in your life. In the very small details of your life, God is interested. I've told you before how God is interested in even when you want a parking meter. Lord, I need a parking meter with 15 minutes on them. There it was. He said, oh, you can't pray like that. Why not? If God knows the very number of the hairs on my head, because that's what the Bible says, then surely He's interested in whether I need a parking meter. Is every detail of my life, God is interested in it. But most of you don't ask God. Most of you don't talk to God like that. I talk to God like He sat at the side of me. You must be crazy. Well, maybe I'm crazy, but He sat at the side of me. He's always there. The word says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So if that's what if he says he'll never leave us, where is he then? He's right by your side. It says he listens in to your conversations. Is that right, David?
Yeah.
Ooh. Better watch what I say. It also says, he even knows what you're thinking. That crazy preacher is going on again, isn't he? I don't care. You can think what you want. God knows. You can talk to him any way you want, Louise. Praise God, you can talk to him in the bathroom, in the shower, wherever. God's not embarrassed, he made you. He says he knows you, the most inward parts of your life. Glory to God. He knows what you're thinking. Sometimes I think you don't even know what you're thinking. But he does. We will try and get back to the message. Hallelujah. Romans 12, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's renew our mind with the Word of God. Let's let the Word of God begin to form us and shape us and to mould us. You might say, well, Andrew, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what people have said about me. You don't know what people have done to me. No, I don't. But I do know this, God does. God does. And God was there when it was happening. Problem is, we were not aware of God. God's everywhere. But we were not aware that he was there. All is there waiting for us to cry out to him. But I can't see him, no. But like I said last week, you can't see electricity, but you use it. I can. Look at that light bulb. Yeah, that's only an effect of electricity. Because you see, those fans are running on electricity, but they're not glowing white and bright like the lights. It is an effect. Yes, David was in electricity. He knows that. Electricity can do all sorts of things, but none of us actually handle electricity, do we? If we did, we'd be dead in a moment. I mean, Leonard plays with electricity. I used to help him play with it. I remember he took me to a house in Bessica, sent me upstairs. He said, I want you to take that switch, light switch off and disconnect the wires and that. And he says, all the power's off. Yeah, I got a shock. glory to God. It's true, you're like you, I mean, I'm lucky to be alive. That guy tried to kill me one day. Don't know what I did wrong to him, but, you know, there you go. See, that day I did not have my test screwdriver just to check that what he was telling me had been true. But somebody, when they built the house in the first place, wired it incorrectly. Is that right? Yeah. And I found out about it. See, I'm rejoicing I'm alive, you know. Glory to God, you know. There's been one or two boxes being prepared for me, and God's saying, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Hallelujah. Got too much to do. Too many places to go, too many people to see for the work of the kingdom of God. Seeing captives set free. Seeing God moving in people's lives. Seeing people equipped for works of service for the kingdom of God. Equipping the saints for their work in ministry. Hallelujah. I know Carol, she's chomping at the bit. COVID, get it over with. Let's get travelling. David, he's never flown on an aeroplane yet. He's ready, you know. Have you got your passport yet? Anybody? He's ready. You know, he's like a wild horse. You know, come on, let's get going. And there's a work for Jesus, and it's only you can do that one. Only you can do it. But you have to get ready.
Yeah.
You have to prepare.
Yeah.
You can't just walk into it. Oh, I'm here, Jesus. I'm ready. You know. What do you want me to do? It's like Daniel when we started on the building work. One day I said to Daniel, I said, fetch me a Phillips screwdriver. Phillips screwdriver? So he came back. I think he brought a flat bladed one. I said, no, it's that one with like a star in it. I said, no, his problem, it's not him to blame for that. Nobody had ever taught him. You see? So as we've been doing building work, we've been teaching at the same time, haven't we? You know what I mean? Steve there has been trying to cut all throats off with that circular saw we've got. Yeah, mystic, you know. Glory to God. We haven't cut any fingers, thankfully. Praise God. But it's right when you say, get me a wrench. It's a wrench. Get me a spanner. 14 mils. What's a 14 mil spanner? Socket set. What's a socket set? What are you talking about? It's a foreign language, isn't it? Unless you've been taught, it means nothing. Does it? It's like with Steve in the kitchen. Tell Steve, you know, weigh out 3 ounces of flour and it's like, and he said to him, get self-raising flour. Oh, there's more than one flour, is there? Here we go, now he's in trouble. Tell him to boil water, he'll burn it, he says. You know. So when we get our new kitchen, we've got to teach Steve how to cook, you see. His face just fell then. But unless we've been taught, we can't do the work of the kingdom. And so we need to come together and to spend time. And you need to repeat it time and time and time and time again. When I was an apprentice and I was learning a skill, it was repetition, 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 repetition that got me to that place. I knew how to do it without thinking. And so we need to be in the Word of God. And let it keep being repeated to us, that it ministers into us, that it becomes not something we have to think about, but it's something that we automatically do. When there's a crisis, when something comes against us, when there's a challenge, when there's a difficulty, we don't turn to the world, we turn to Jesus. We turn to God, who will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Through Christ Jesus. And that's what He wants to do in your lives. He wants to do it in my life. We talked about also our brains. They react to electrical impulses. I was sharing that when John G. Lake was praying for people, they put meters on either side and wires, and as he began to pray, there was some form of electricity moving these dials. God. What is God? Is he electricity? See, one version says, as Grace says, he's light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I read, see my notes somewhere. I read in John's Gospel, chapter 9, where the lepers came to Jesus. Sorry, Luke chapter 17, where the lepers came to Jesus. Luke 17 and verse 12. 10 lepers came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal them. What did Jesus do? He just said to them, just go and show yourselves to the priests in the temple. That's all he did. He said, and as you go, as you go. The Lord might speak to you and say, I want you to go and talk to so and so. Yeah, but what am I going to say, Lord? And he says, as you go, I'll give it you. As you go. I've known me come to church and I've probably spent a week preparing a message. I arrive at church, I sit on the front row. I'm just about 5 minutes away from getting up to speak. And the Lord whispers and says to me, we're not doing that one today. I'm like, what? I have spent all week preparing this and now you tell me we're not speaking on that subject today. No. And then I whisper back and say, Lord, what are we doing? And he whispers back and he gives me a verse of scripture. So I quickly turn to it in my Bible and I look at it and go, And that's all you need. Oh, you're joking. No, that's all you need. And then one has to step out in faith and begin to read that verse of scripture. And suddenly, don't ask me how, the anointing comes down. My spirit is charged. I'm connected to somewhere in the Spirit of God and something begins to flow right through me. And God's at work. And suddenly God's speaking to different people in the service. And I know nothing about it till after church. When people come up and say, that was just for me, you know, when you said so and so. And I'm thinking, really? And I'm thinking, that was a load of rubbish. There are times when you preach and it's like you have a machine gun. And you literally go, and you've all these things fly all over the place. And you say, it's disjointed. It's not connected in any way. I'm thinking, what a load of verbal garbage. And then 5 or 6 people come up after church and say, that was for me. That was for me. When you said this, when you said that, when you said that, when you talked about that situation, I'm thinking, okay, God, you know what you're doing. I don't, you know. I just have to follow Him. And, you know, if you come to church and you say, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Guess what? He will. I know for a fact He spoke to me many times. When I need some answers, when I need God to speak to me, Lord, I need you to speak to me. I need you to guide me. I need you to show me. And He does. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Are you one of His sheep? Bible teaches all we like sheep have gone astray. Turned to our own ways, doing our own thing. We don't need God. You know, we've enough money in our back pocket. We've got money in the bank, you know. That we've got the states looking after us. We don't need anything. We don't need this God that you are talking about. I've had people tell me that. But you do. I came into this world with nothing and I'm going to leave with exactly nothing. And people will try and turn around and say, well, when you're dead, you're dead. Really? I'm not taking that risk. See, I don't believe when I'm dead, I'm dead. I just believe I've moved on into another form of life in Christ Jesus. Translated into that image. When Jesus was raised from the dead from that tomb situation and the disciples were locked in a room. He says, and then Jesus appeared in the place. They didn't sort of stand there and go, oh, hello, Jesus. We were expecting you. People were like, how did you do that? Where did you come from? They were afraid. They couldn't believe it. They thought, it's a ghost. We're seeing things, you know. It's not. It can't be real. And he said to them, give me some food to eat. And he sat down and ate. And he shared. He shared the word with them. Hallelujah. He's real. He's real today. No matter what circumstance, no matter what situation, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. John's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 1. Speaks of a man who was born blind. At birth he had no sight whatsoever. Not even sure whether he got any eyes even.
No.
But this man was blind. This man must have been at least over 30 years of old age when Jesus met him. Jesus took some soil, some dust, and spit in it and made mud. And he put it on his eyes and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. Jesus sent him to wash himself. He washed his eyes. And then he could see. As I say, I don't know whether he had eyes in the first place, but I'll tell you this, when he'd finished washing, he'd got a pair of good eyes with a 20/20 vision. Come on. 20/20 vision. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees are saying, when did this happen? Today. But it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. Who is this hypocrite that has healed you on the Sabbath? You know, can't do anything, can you? You can't get it right with them. And they railed on Jesus, and they sent for his mother and father. And his mother and father knew that if they said, it's this Jesus who's done it, they were going to get thrown out of the temple. They were going to be blacked. They were no longer going to be allowed to come to the temple. They were going to be excommunicated. They were going to be put out. So they said, well, he's old enough to tell you. And he challenged them. He said, do you want to be one of his followers? They're backing off. He said, I don't know who he is, what he is, how he did it, but I know this, I can see. Once I was blind, but now I see. And you know, we need to be in that situation where so often we can be spiritually blind to situations and circumstances, but God wants to give you spiritual insight. And that's part of Bible school. That's part of the growing in God.
Yeah.
You see, today you are not a victim to your reactions to the words that have been inputted into your life. You often think, I'm a victim of the circumstances. I'm a victim of what's happened in my life. You're not. The Word of God has come to set you free. The Word of God has come to release you.
Amen.
You see, you and I, when we know the presence and the power of God, we can control our reactions. Can we not? Yeah. Have you ever been in that situation where you just thought, come on, just punch the lights out? Yeah. You know, I said once, I remember a couple of times, God, just give me 5 minutes off. 5 minutes off, Lord. Turn your back. Don't look. It's like you said earlier. I found it's far easier just to say, you earn them, God. You deal with them. I've got things to do. I must be about my Father's business. You see, the enemy will get you distracted. He'll get you chewing the cud, as we say. You know, chewing it over. You're mulling it over. Next thing you know, you're losing hours and hours of sleep. And it's winding you up. You're getting stressed by it. You're not eating the same. You're beginning to feel ill, but it's making you ill. And the Bible says, cast all your care upon Jesus, because He cares for you. It makes you old. It tears you apart. And we just say, no, giving it to Jesus. Yeah, but you know what they did to you? I do. And God does as well. In fact, God knows what they said about me that I don't know. God knows even what they plan to do to me that I don't know. Thank God for that. And we just let it go and say, God, you deal with it. I'm busy doing your work, Father. And we just let it go. And God says, I'll deal with it, son. Leave it to me. You just carry on. I'm going to move on. I get a lot more done, by the way. Instead of worrying about something else, I'm busy on doing something else, you know. Worrying about something that I can't fix. It's so often what we do, isn't it? We worry about something and in the end we know we can't fix it, but we're still worrying. Why? Worry is a killer. Stress is a killer. You know, people go and play golf to de-stress. More people down the golf course these days because of stress in their lives. The Bible says, cast all your care. Hand it over to God. Isn't that what we do?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? And then we can smile, yeah. Can't we? Yeah. We can rejoice. We didn't used to though, did we?
No.
But we do now, don't we? Yeah, there you go. She was lost, but now she's found, you see. She's given it to Jesus. Just give it to God. Oh, that's easy for you. No, it's just as easy for you as it is for me. You know, both ways it works. All you've got to do is let the Word of God work. What do you think? I just want to mull on it a bit more, you know. Just makes me feel that I'm doing something towards it. No, no, don't try and do something towards it. Walk away from it. Walk into something that, shall we say, is positive, that is going to change people's lives for His praise and for His glory. Because what you're thinking about, what you're in your mind planning. I used to have an horrible boss some years back. Nobody in the company liked him. Sometimes he could be so nasty. His nickname was the Smiling Assassin. And I tell you, the times I had some terrible thoughts, David. The IRA was very active at that point in time. I thought, if I could just get in touch with IRA, because when he drives down A1, could just get him there with a bazooka and just take him out as he's coming down, you know. It'd help a lot of people. I'm thinking, oh, God. You see, you can get caught up with these things and this thinking begins to twist you. It begins to distort you. It can make you sick physically. People can get so bitter and twisted up that arthritis comes into their body and twists their body. And in the end, I had to realize that God was testing me. What's my reaction? How am I going to respond to this? Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. When I left, he was mad as anything that I was leaving the company. He told my boss to get him back. Don't let him leave. See, you don't know everything that's going on. You just see the outer edges. But God knows all things. And we need to just let God be God. And let God move through our lives. You see, God gave you and me a free will. It's not an illusion. God gave us a free will. And our free will helps us form the way we act. By reading the Word of God, we have a free will, we have a choice. Do I pick up the Word of God today? Do I talk to the Lord today? What do I do? You see, we have a free will to do what we want. And as we allow the Word of God to work in our lives, the Word of God shows us what to do. And we're still using our free will, but we're making better choices.
Yeah.
Better choices. Yeah, but what about them people that said that to me? What about that? What they did to me? What about they? What they stole from me? It's okay. People have stolen from me. And God's got it back. God's brought it back in a different form, different way. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Word of God said God is no man's debtor. And when you... So it's about handing all of our lives over to Him. Start thinking like God's thinking. In other words, God's in charge. God knows the end from the beginning. Talks about Jesus being the first and the last. Talks about Jesus being the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the very end of all things. And so God is there at the beginning of all things, and God is there at the end of all things, and He's right there in the middle of all things. Like we said earlier, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, our free will influences our thinking. The way we use our free will, it influences our thinking. And Joshua said this in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, and he's putting a challenge to the people. And he says to people, to the tribes of Israel, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites who were in the land ye dwell. But he says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. He made that decision. And he declared it publicly to the people. And said, I'm serving Him. I'm serving God. He'd served God for over 80 years. He'd led the people into the promised land. He served Moses for 40 years. And then he said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And he continued and he continued and he continued serving God. Today, you and I can choose to think like God. If not, if you don't think like God, you start thinking like a devil. Oh, you don't believe in the devil? Jesus did. Jesus did. And some of the things that you see on TV have come from the very pit. Have you noticed? If you ever watch any of these science fiction programs, Star Trek and all that sort of stuff, you know. Have you noticed these aliens? They're all ugly. They're all ugly, aren't they? So, you know, they've got stitches in here and lumps on here and bumps on there and things sticking out all over here. Then you think, where did that come from? Thank you. From some sadistic mind, she says. Because it came out of somebody's brain. It came out of somebody's soul whose soul is not connected to God. You see, because man is fallen. Man, well, I mean, let's be honest, those of you that have had children, have you discovered that when you have children, you always have to tell them to do good? You have to show them. You have to demonstrate. Because all the time, they're into something. You know? And it's like, don't do that. Naughty. You know? And the moment you say no, my God, it just erupts, doesn't it? You know, it's like throwing a stick of dynamite in. That word, no. Boom! And off. See, the devil don't like no. My dog don't like no. He's getting used to it though. I remember a christening service I was involved in the Orthodox Church some years back. The lovely minister, the priest, he'd asked me to come along and help him. And I think we'd about 3 or 4 christenings to do. And we'd done all of them bar this last one. And as this last one was coming towards us, the family was coming, he said to me, "This one's a screamer." I'm like, what's he mean? So he took the baby in his arm and he began to pray. And began to anoint this child, and then the next thing, something began to manifest. And this thing began to scream and holler and scream, and I'm thinking, wow, he knows what he's doing. You see, the Orthodox do christening with a very specific reason behind it. Dealing with demonic forces that seek to enter even into a small child. Because it has no protection. Now you see, Joshua has protection. He has parents who stand guard spiritually over his life. You see, you, when you had children as believers, you stood guard over your children's lives. You were the ones who had the authority. You were the ones who stood in that place, standing in the gap, taking that rule and that authority. And seeing God moving in their lives in power. You can choose to think like God wants you to think. Thinking creates signals that unzip the DNA in our lives, which eventually turn into actions. I read this the other day. We have a gene called the Krebs gene. CREB, the Krebs gene, that we choose, this gene chooses to switch on with our thoughts. We choose this. And I looked at that and I thought, Krebs, what can I do with Krebs? And I thought, I know. This Krebs gene, you can turn this on to think the right thoughts. And I suddenly thought, Christ removes every bondage. Hallelujah. There's a Krebs gene that Christ removes every bondage. Hallelujah. Today Christ can remove every bondage in your life. All you have to do is allow Him to turn it on with the Word of God. Every bondage in our lives is then destroyed, and He came to set us free. Today we have to realize that we are not victims of biology. We control our biology. Hallelujah. Carol, a few weeks ago, she came out for prayer. She's had knee operations. They're not real ones in there, are they? No. Plastic and metal knees that she had done years ago. Pain, can't bend them properly, even after that work that they'd done. Came out for prayer, the power of God came on her, and guess what? She can bend them. She can do things she could never do before. Why is that? Because God is in charge of the biology.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Word of God changes things. The Word of God is powerful.
Yes.
And so as it says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "For as a man thinketh within himself, so he is." Bless the Lord. Today, what's your thinking like? What's your thinking like? We need to think like God. We need to have our minds renewed by the power of God and let God move in our lives. Let's just bow our heads in prayer.